want you to turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I know last Sunday we were able to pray with Micah, and you heard some good reports about him being out there, and he's never flown before except this time, huh? Amen. Amen. You never know, so... Keep Mike in your prayers, if you would, that God would just be with him. You know, today is June the 2nd. Can you imagine? Half the year, almost half the year is almost over for 2019. And sometimes when you get to half the year, you start evaluating your life, you know, looking at, you know, things maybe in you that maybe could change, or did you fulfill what maybe you promised on January 1st or the end of December, going into January. Just a looking into your life and evaluating some things and saying, Lord, you know, where do we stand, you know, in maybe our relationship to the Lord, what God wants to do in us and through us as individuals, as families, as a church. You know, what does God want to do in all those areas? And it's good to look back. It is good to look in and see. Because, you know, sometimes we don't want to get off focus of what God has set before us. We don't want to go to the left or to the right. But we want to stay on that straight and narrow path that God has laid out for each of us individually and for us collectively as a church, to stay on that path where God has called us to preach that gospel, and so that the gospel of Jesus Christ could go forth with power and with authority. Throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, we see and read how prayer has changed circumstances, and how prayer has changed events in our history of our country or in our society. You know, what are things that we promised maybe, or we kind of said, Lord, that we would do in the latter part of December into January, that maybe we haven't fulfilled to the best of our ability? Maybe we haven't done maybe the things that we know we should be doing in order to fulfill the purpose and will of our Father that He has called us to upon the earth. In Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 9. Well, look at verse 5, starting with verse 5. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. It says, And when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, for they may be seen of men. It was for show. That's all it was. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. You see, when we do things for show or to impress other people, that's our reward right there. You know, it all goes back to the heart. Why the incentive of why we do things. Number 6, but you, talking about believers, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. Really, because he was talking about in verse 5 about them praying for show, really when he says a closet, it does not really mean, you know, that you go into a closet and you stay there and pray, but that we don't do it for show. We do it out of sincerity of our heart, because we see maybe people that need prayer, or we pray to the Father to get the will of the Father done. It's because we're doing it out of our heart and love for our Father. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, where they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not you therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. Prayer is a very important part of a Christian's life. Prayer is what keeps the enemy afar off from his attacks upon the children of God. Prayer is what pushes back darkness of evil upon a town, upon a city, upon a family, upon individuals. That's what pushes back. Prayer to the Father, praying and seeking him, that pushes back that darkness of evil that infiltrates, that tries to infiltrate any area of society. I want to encourage you more than ever before with your prayer life. Don't let it become just a repetitious thing. Yes, there are certain things maybe we do at certain times, but you know, he talks about just because we say a lot of words doesn't mean a thing so much. But God is looking at the heart and interceding and pushing back the darkness of evil so that it doesn't infiltrate people's minds and thinking that they don't accept the Lord. But God wants us to push back that darkness and push back the evil that has tried to destroy the whole world. And we know the enemy. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That is what he wants to do. The biggest church in all the world, Young E Cho, I think that's his name, the pastor of that church, is, I think that might be in South Korea. Hundreds of thousands of people that go to his church. Hundreds of thousands. Hundreds of thousands. He has churches, not just one church building, but all over the place in South Korea. All over the place. Somebody, and I told this to Jelaine a while back, I said, somebody asked him a question one day about how was he so successful in the millions of people that are in his church and the things that are happening and just people giving their souls to the Lord. No big program stuff like in America or whatever else places. But just people coming to worship, to praise him and to honor their God. And it was some pastors that were asking him this. What is, you know, because they always, you know, pastors always want the formula. You know, how to get people in your church, how to grow your church. That's what goes around. And he said, but before I tell you anything, I'm going to show you something. And he brought these pastors to the basement of one of their churches. The basement's a huge place. And when they opened the door to go down into the basement, the pastors could hear with their voice, with their ears, like prayer going on, just praying or something to that effect. And when they walked down into that basement, there were hundreds, hundreds, hundreds of men and women, boys and girls, the old, the young, just on their face before God, seeking God and praying and seeking God for his will upon that church and upon that place. And he turns to the pastors without a word and says, this is it. What he was saying was, it's the cross of Calvary. It's not music. It's not the place, how it looks. And you know, you want nice place. You want nice music. You want air conditioning. You want heat. You want all that stuff. You know, nothing wrong with all that. But that's not where our faith is. Our faith is in Calvary and what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. And he said, that's what it is. That's what it is. That's what it is. Can you imagine? And it's 24/7. It's not just 1 hour here or 1 hour there. 24/7. You might say, well, they have the people. Well, you know what? You have to have the heart, too. 24/7 of speaking in tongues, praying to the Father. 24/7 calling on the Father, asking Jesus to move by His Spirit. 24/7. That's why they're breaking the walls of bondage. Because it's not just one, it's not just two, but it takes one and two and three and four to bind together to say, we will see this thing through. We will see the power of God manifested like we've never seen before. The power of Almighty God. Prayer makes a difference, people. It does. Because prayer is the difference between the church and the world. The world relies on self and what they can do. The church is not supposed to be like that. The church is supposed to rely upon God and what He can do. And then God gives us the purpose and what to do and how to do it. That's the difference. And as He tells us to do certain things, the power of Almighty God comes in and changes and does many things in that area. In the latter part of Matthew chapter 6, it says that the disciples asked Jesus, how are we to pray? And Jesus gave them the model prayer, and you know that prayer, and it's a model prayer of the Our Father that God gave, or Jesus gave to the disciples. He said, this is how you should pray. Go to the Father first. Call upon Him. And let the Spirit of God move upon that situation. You know, King David had many things that came against him. But he always knew his God would take care of him somehow, some way. Even though things got hard, even though things got rough, even though he ran from the king, the other king, this man still would not lay a hand upon that earthly king because of the anointing upon him. God took care of David's life no matter what. We can read in Joshua chapter 6 where it talks about the walls of Jericho came down, people. That's the kind of God we serve. You know, when the children of Israel got to that city, God said, go get it. Go get it. And they said, Father, what do we do? It's like you walls. But he said, it's yours. There's nothing too difficult that God cannot solve. And there's not a problem high enough that God can't bring down low enough for you to conquer. And for me to conquer. What a God we serve. And he gave them a remedy to conquer that city. We all know what it is. He said, just walk around the city silently once every day for the last day for a week. And that last day, they walked around that city seven times. Seven times is God's number, people. Seven is God's number, completion, totality. Completion. When they walked around that city seven times, they were saying, God, we trust you. We depend upon you. Our total being is in your life. Is in you. Our total, who we are, is in you, Father. And they walked around that city not saying a word. Now, that's a big miracle just right there. Now, I can't say they weren't thinking it. What's coming out of the mouth. They were quiet. They were silent. Thank you, Lord. And they walked. And that last time, it says all of a sudden, they started to shout and praise the Lord. And all of a sudden, God stepped in and pushed those walls down into the into the earth itself. Because you see, prayer makes a difference. And listening to the Father and what He says makes a difference in solving problems, makes a difference in handling problems, makes a difference in going forth and letting God move upon that situation that we've been praying about. You see, there are many situations that we cannot solve. There's many things in your family you cannot solve. And if you try to solve it on your own, it's going to become much bigger and it will blow up. So this is what you do. You go to the Father and you pray. And you say, Father, give me wisdom. Show me what to do. It may be just to pray about those situations. It may be to go up to somebody and talk to them and pray with them and share something with them. It may be God giving you wisdom beyond what we ever could understand, giving us wisdom to show us what to do. See, that comes in with praying and seeking the Father and seeking Him and His will and letting the power of the Spirit of God move upon that situation. We like to handle things on our own and handle it quickly sometimes. And then it blows up. And it doesn't have the effect that we want it to have. It seems like it's worse than before. But you see, in the hands of God, when we give Him that situation, when we give Him that problem, when we pray and seek the Lord, God comes in and gives us the wisdom that we need. It could be a verse that we read in the scripture that tells us what to do. Praise God. It could be God speaking to our spirits to tell us what to do and how to do it. Whatever He wants to do, that's up to Him. Our job as Christians is not so much to run the church, but it's to obey God. My job and your job as Christians, children of the living God, is to obey Him in His word and what He says to do. That is our job. Just to obey Him. Now, that doesn't mean it's easy sometimes. You know? So that doesn't mean it's always hard, but it's difficult sometimes. But to obey the Spirit of the Lord. As we pray to the Father and the Spirit of God through the name of Jesus, and the Spirit of God comes in and tells us and gives us wisdom and shows us by praying to Him. James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. I want you to believe this word. The latter part of that verse. We'll read the first part. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. I know, don't run to everybody and tell them your faults. Don't do that. That's not what that's meaning, okay? Don't do it. Don't do it. It'll be all around town. I'm telling you. You know. This is what I want you to get. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's you and I. Look, listen to this. When we pray and seek the face of God, the effectual, fervent prayer, the prayers of the servants of the living God, the prayers of the sons and the daughters of the living God, of a righteous man, meaning mankind, righteous woman, righteous man, avails much. That means there's much power, there's much authority in it, because you've gone to Him, and He will do what needs to be done according to His word and according to His will. That's the power of Almighty God. See, the devil will tell you that the way, when you pray, no use praying. It won't happen. But that's not what the Word of God says. We believe what the Word of God says because we know the Word of God is truth. And when we pray according to the will of the Father, it shall be done upon the earth. It shall be done. Not maybe, but according to the will of the Father, it shall be done. Because that's God's word. And God will never renege upon his word. He will perform his word before his church and before the body of believers. That's the power of Almighty God.
Hallelujah.
Shout to the Lord. Let God be magnified and praised. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person. It avails much. There's much power. There's much authority. There's much presence in the word of God. That comes out a child of God. It works. The power of Almighty God. James 5. Look at verse 17. Look at the next verse. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not. On the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. The next verse. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Go back to the other verses, please. You might say, well, Pastor, can I pray it not rain, and it won't rain for 3.5 years? If you pray the will of God. This man prayed the will of God, and it was done. See, we have to know the voice of God. We got to pray the will of God. And when we know the will of God, as we pray it, it will happen. It will happen. That's why I know when we pray for our family members to be saved, it will happen. No doubt in my mind. It will happen. Somehow, some way, might be on their deathbed, but it will happen because we have been praying, we've been seeking the will of the Father, and Jesus died upon Calvary's cross for all humanity. It is in the perfect will of the Father. He wants every man, every woman, every boy, every girl saved. And so when we pray, it is God's will. And we pray, Lord, move upon them. Save their soul. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. There's much power and much authority in it. Sometimes we may not realize how much power there is in prayer that is at our fingertips, people, my Lord. How much power there is. Not in us at all, but in him that is in us. Now I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4, please. Philippians chapter 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Test this. Starting with verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. In the comments it says, actually he's talking about is near. The Lord is near. Or actually refers to the rapture of the church. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. It's close, people. It's close. I mean, you can see the world, the way it's going. You know, the latest shootings they had in Virginia. How many people? 11 people died, wow. I think. 12 now, another one. There was a bunch of people in the hospital too, you know. This was a co-worker from what I understood, you know, reading about it, you know. You know, used to, somebody got angry, they just went in and maybe fought, you know, a physical fight, you know, or had verbal words. Now, you know, they just pack their gun and get in there and shoot, you know. It's so scary. It's such a sad situation. And you know, and that's happening all over. You know, that's happening all over the world. But we know the church, God's about to come for the church. Jesus is about to come for the church. God is about to commission him to come. And it won't be long. It won't be long. We got to be ready, and we got to keep sharing the gospel. Got to be ready and keep sharing the gospel no matter what. Got to be ready and keep sharing the gospel no matter what. Even as Noah knew him and his sons, and probably their wives too, as they were working on this boat and with his wife. But as people would walk by, and this boat was how many football fields long? Two or three? Three, I think it is. I think it was a long. It was more than one. So let's say three football fields long, whatever. That's a big boat. They didn't have no hand tools. They had to use their muscle and to get it done. They built that boat, and they kept preaching the gospel, saying, "He's coming. He's coming." God would have made it 100 football fields if he knew the people would have walked in. He knew. He would have made it as long as he needed it so that it could carry everybody. He will not lose anyone if they don't want to be lost. And they, as they were building that boat, you know, it had never rained before. That to us is like we get rain all the time, so it's like, we know what it is to have rain from above. They just kept preaching the gospel. Just kept preaching. Noah, a man of God. As he worked on the boat, maybe on his ladder, he turned to the side as people would walk. You know, and tell them a little bit about Jesus or tell them about the Savior that was coming. Beckoning them to come in. And they would laugh and say all kind of stuff and just walk on by like it was nothing, like, you know, the world is just going on and on. But they didn't realize that one day, it is coming one day for us too, that Jesus, that trumpet will blow. It will be very happy that day for a lot of people. But also it will be a very sad day. We will go and we will be with our Savior and have the marriage supper of the Lamb and have the rewards and all kinds of stuff happen and be just with our Savior. But humanity that's left will be a horror of events that will come. Honestly, at times, I really like to think of it because it hurts too much. But I know our God is a faithful God. And people, even family members that you have that you think are saved, and maybe once received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but yet you see no fruit in their lives, you got to start praying for them. Start preaching the gospel to them again. Because they're not serving their first love. That means they've gone away from the Father. And their soul is in the balance. Start praying for them. Asking God to move upon them. Get them back in church. Get them back where they need to be. Because we don't know he's coming. As we read the scriptures before in James where it talks about it's near, the rapture's near people. I know we've been hearing about it for a long time and the devil has made the church go asleep for a while. And now, you know, maybe a lot of even in the church doesn't believe that Jesus is coming so soon. But people don't give up on what God promised. You know, even though Noah and them built that boat, and it took 100 or so years or so, and at times, I bet you when it hit 25 years, he thought, oh God, I don't know if I can do this. When you only have about a quarter of the boat built. See, it took about 25 years for each section. I don't know. It took a long time. But I'm sure he might have given up hope a little bit, but he said, I have to do this because my father has given us a commission. And they kept building the boat, and all of a sudden, it says God ordered the animals to come in, and they came in two by two. I mean, can you imagine? You open up a door, and animals just start coming in two by two. And they're not fighting with one another. They're not trying to eat one another. You know, they're not. They're coming in as good animals. You know, it's like, okay. But the Spirit of the Lord, that's what happens in a church. When the Spirit of the Lord is there, there's no frustration, there's no evil, there's no backbiting, there's no evil. When the Spirit of the Lord is not there, that's when there's all kind of confusion and evil, and all kind of evil happens. And they came in two by two, and then some by seven because of the sacrifice and all that. And all of a sudden, knowing his family, his boys, his sons, his wives, they started to walk into the front. Can you imagine? Let's say this was the door that, and I know it's a huge door, of that barn. And knowing his wives on either side, their sons and their daughters. And not a soul of a human being walks through that door. An animal out in the world walks in as he calls them in two by two on their own. But not one human being walks in. Besides them. And they walk in. They don't have to close the door because that's God to close that door. And the Holy Spirit, God, the Father, closed that door, and that was it. And they'd stayed in there, with, I think it's a week or so before finally it says the earth opened, a gush of water from underneath and a gush of water from the sky came in. And can you imagine, that's water from the top to the bottom. And it didn't take long for it to fill up with water, the whole earth. But the power of Almighty God, we got to get out there. We got to just keep declaring wherever you go, Jesus is coming. They'll laugh at you. That's okay. But God can take that word when they're in their bed sleeping, they wake up at night or in a dream or whatever else. God can bring that back. Jesus is coming. I gotta get things right. That's the Spirit of the Lord. Prayer is a spiritual communication between man and God, a two-way relationship in which man should not only talk to God, but also listen to him. So people, we have to talk with him, but we have to listen. Just listen to him. And we will find that God will pour into us what we need as we just sit there sometimes. Maybe on us. Some people like to kneel. Wherever, it doesn't matter. Whatever. But let the Spirit of God just speak and breathe the breath of life into us. When God's people pray, they are conversing with God, with the God of the universe. Where we listen to God's voice. Prayer speaks to God's heart, but it also speaks to our heart. One of the reasons I talked or spoke a little bit about prayer today was to encourage you to keep on praying. Maybe take a little bit more time if you can. Maybe wake up a little bit earlier if you can. It's like an emergency right now. As I work in Abilene, you know, you hear the sirens go off, you know, you hear, and you're looking. You're either looking, you know, I don't know the difference between the ambulance, the police, and all that. They say there's a difference in the sound of their, I don't know it. But, you know, you're always looking at the street saying, okay, what's going to come down the road? Is it a fire truck? Is it a police, you know, car? Is it an ambulance that's coming down the road? Or whatever, you know, whatever, one of those things. Because you know there's an emergency. Something is happening. Somebody needs help. There's an emergency going on right now in the kingdom of God. God is blowing the trumpets, you know, through his word, through his preachers, through his pastors, through his people, saying he's coming. You know, as we pray and seek the face of God, letting the power of Almighty God come in. And change, change our church, change us, change things that need to be changed. Let the Spirit of God move like He wants to move. Franklin Graham called for a special day of prayer today. Anybody heard of that?
Yeah.
He called for a special day of prayer for our president. 250 pastors that are well known signed up with him. Franklin Graham, a great man of God. I respect that man. I respect his father, his late father, Billy Graham, that they've always tried to do things right. Now, that doesn't mean they always, just try to have integrity. And so when I hear of this man doing something, I always try to listen and look, because I know this man hears from God. And it says, and he declared today, January 2nd, Sunday, declaring it in all the churches, if they would, to pray for our president. You know, we have the privilege and the responsibility we bear as citizens of our nation and children of our King to pray for our president. I know this, there's no way that we will agree with all politics of one man at all. But I know this. I know Donald Trump, our president, desires to help the church because of a lot of his policies that he has put forth. To help Christians. We know he is not perfect, and honestly, probably not the best example of a Christian, in a lot of areas, on the personal side. But let me tell you this. God has put that man in office. He's not like a regular politician, which I like. But there is something in his heart where God has placed him there to defend the Christian faith and religious liberty. And people, we need to rejoice for that. That he is protecting Christian liberty and the Christian faith. We need to try to lift him up in prayer and support him when we can with his policies. We need to pray that God would protect, strengthen, embolden him, and direct him, because he needs our prayer. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3, I want to read that to you. It says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. He says, pray for those that are in authority over us. Franklin Graham has called for the churches in all of America to pray for our president today. To pray for him. We know the turmoil and the things that are coming against him. We may look, and I'm not trying to lift him up as a president. I respect the office. But I know this. He has passed policies that have helped the Christian faith and religious liberty in America. And let me tell you, we haven't had a president in a long, long, long time that has done that. The past administration of Obama didn't do it. You can go back to Bush's. You can go back to a bunch of those. Clinton and all that. But I know this man has. And so we need to pray for him, that God would help him to do what needs to be done for our country. God says to pray for him, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life, to pray and to seek God on his behalf. Prayer is important, people. And we have to do what God calls us to do in that avenue. Would you please stand, please? We're going to pray for our president. If you would, just lift up your hands as a form of surrender to your God this morning, if you can. And I'm going to pray for him and asking God to help him. Heavenly Father, we come to you through the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray for our president, Donald J. Trump. Lord God, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord would be upon him. Help him, Lord God, to make righteous judgments, Lord, to do what is right all the time. Lord God, I pray for a mighty move of your Spirit upon his life. And Lord God, I would even ask for his soul, Lord, that you would send men and women and surround him with godly wisdom, that he will accept you as his Lord and Savior. But Father, Lord, I come against the evil that has come against him. And we bind those things in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we loose the Spirit of the Lord upon him. Lord, help them to know that we stand with him and will pray for him and will help when we can. Lord God, the Spirit of the Lord to be upon him as you were with David, Lord God, as you were with the kings of Israel, Lord God, that the power of your Spirit would be evident in his life, in Jesus' name. Lord, expel the darkness from him and upon his life and the evil that has tried to come upon him. But Lord God, help him to live a life that is pleasing unto you this day. Protect him physically, spiritually, and emotionally, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Look, guys, I appreciate you. I thank God for you, and we love you. And we pray you have a great week this week. Amen. God bless you, and you are dismissed.
Amen.